the part of my job I truly love is that personal, like, just keep pushing forward and keep putting your heart on the line and keep making it new and interesting for yourselves, for your team, and of course for your customers.
This is the Deep in the Weeds podcast. I'm Anthony Huckstep. Over the summer, we're going to catch up with previous guests and share yarns from their lives in food. As she puts the finishing touches on the program for Tasting Australia in 2022 as co-festival director, Karina Armstrong joins us to share some summer yarns. Karina, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Huck?
I'm good.
Thanks so much for having me on again.
It's a pleasure to catch up with you. It's been a pretty wild ride for a couple of years. What's the year been like for you?
This year has definitely been up and down in terms of, you know, borders and closing and opening and cases, but definitely nothing in comparison to our friends in the eastern states, who my heart really went out to. But, you know, we're still here and we're still cooking food and, you know, life's good.
Well, summer is a great time in Australia, and we do a lot of eating and a lot of drinking and celebrating. What do you think about when it comes to food and summer?
Oh, I love summer because, you know, that first tomato you grow, and we grow so many different varieties in the garden for Salopian. And that first one, it's always like an ox heart or a black Russian tomato that you bite into, and it's warm and it's, you know, it's just amazing. It's full of flavour, and you wait that 12 months. So summer for me is always about the produce first and what we're growing, and the smells, like, even the smell, it's going to sound bizarre, but the smell of tomato leaves, I love that. Is summer to me, and that means that, you know, we're eating in season, and, you know, fresh basil, and it's an old adage, but what grows together goes together, and it's just so true. And we've also started growing some things over summertime because water in South Australia is a real problem. Like, you know, we're a dry state. And I started looking around the world of food and into other countries that have no water and what they grow. So we started growing some okra and a few other crazy bits. Yeah, and tomatillos, obviously in Mexico. So this year we've got like cinnamon tomatillos. And, you know, so we've really looked at where we are and the environment we're in and water, and trying to be respectful and finding a new way forward with food that is not so water heavy. And that's been really good fun because, of course, you start, you know, growing okra, so you need okra recipes, and that's been a whole journey that's just been magical because I think it's a very polarizing vegetable, but, you know, I think it's great. So you really go on this journey with it when you start thinking about produce first, recipe second.
Has it changed your cooking style, this approach to growing new varieties of vegetables?
Oh, hugely. I have so much more respect for when we still buy from other producers in the area as well. And, you know, when they bring in something that's really pristine, I'm like, oh, how did you do that? And then going forward to cooking, I know that if Maddie, our gardener's, brought it in for me, I know how hard she's worked to get those tomatillos perfect and on the vine, and, you know, nature aligned for us as well. And you just have so much more respect. And you'll look at, say, you'll peel your tomatoes to make a sauce, but then you're really thinking about what you're going to do with that peel. Like, I don't want to throw it in the bin. Like, we grew that, so we ferment it and we make, you know, a white tomato stock, or we make, like, it's made me a very thoughtful cook and probably a lot more contemplative than I've ever been, but maybe that's age. But then I look at the chefs that come into my kitchen, and I've got an awesome team of chefs, and now, you know, I've got 19-year-olds that are naturally doing that. And I'm really excited for the future of cooking, that we've got 19-year-olds that are going, what can I do with the, you know, trim from this, or can I ferment it, can I try? And it's like, of course you can, like, just have a go, and if it goes wrong, it goes wrong, but occasionally that crazy thinking, you get something really special. So it has changed my level of respect for ingredients hugely, and producers, how hard they work to give us food.
Well, South Australia has the most extraordinary produce and incredible coastline as well, with some of the best seafood on the planet. Do you have any stories from with family holidays and food from when you were young?
Oh, look, from when I was young, but even this year, I have three sons who are, you know, in teenage years now. And we went with my husband and I, we went to Kangaroo Island for 11 days in the middle of winter. And at Kangaroo Island, for people to know, it's windy, it's cold, like it's really raw, natural beauty. It's a stunning part of South Australia. But we hired canoes and there are beautiful oyster beds there and, you know, ended up kayaking all over them with the kids. And, you know, the kids were jumping out in this freezing cold water and seeing oysters and seeing them in just, it's just so pristine. It blows your mind. Like the water's so cold and crisp. And then, of course, we ate the oysters as well. And you can taste that purity and that absolute clean environment that we have here in South Australia, and it's extraordinary. We also did some fishing, caught Australian salmon, which, you know, is not sort of a fish, you know, everyone talks about our snapper and you know, all our sort of King George whiting, our more known species, but this Australian salmon's really abundant, and we ended up smoking it and then flaking it and putting it through a salad, and it was extraordinary. It was great.
You've been obviously very busy with the Salopian Inn, but also as co-festival director for Tasting Australia. What's it been like in that role and immersing yourself in that world?
So that was, you know, I only was offered the role in September this year, so it's been quite a whirlwind change. And when the offer was made to me, I actually thought they were coming to ask me for, you know, a new recipe for Tasting Australia or something. I had no idea that it was coming my way, like zero. And it's been amazing. It's been challenging. But to see the start of a festival come together is a really incredible process. And I won't, you know, I've been incredibly overwhelmed in moments. I've never put a festival together. But I just keep bringing it back to, you know, I know hospitality and I know about thinking about details and I know about a customer's experience in a restaurant. And Tasting Australia is just a massive restaurant with lots of services in lots of places with awesome produce. And when I think about it like that, it's exciting and it's in terms of creativity, it's just mind-blowing, like bringing people together that have never cooked together and just knowing that the magic will happen between them. And that's what I get really excited about, just, you know, when we open and these dinners start, it will be incredible.
Well, recently you got to cook with co-festival directors. What was that like, teaming up and cooking a feast?
That was really good. So Darren and I had never cooked together, and it's such an unspoken language between chefs. And I think, you know, you can do all the Zoom meetings and you do all the talking about things, but when you actually just slide into that moment of cooking together and all the organising's done and all the prep's done and you're just cooking with each other, it's just such a nice experience. It's so joyful. Emma McCaskill and I have cooked together lots of times and, you know, really, really enjoy cooking with each other because we actually don't get too structured about what we're going to do. We just have lots of great ingredients and a fairly vague menu. And then it just but I think you can be like that sometimes because it just gives breadth and depth to what you can do in the moment and what you do collectively. Because cooking as a group of people, like you, I want to see what Darren thinks of my dish and maybe he has something he can add to it, because then it is a collaboration and it's not just about me and my ego and my dish. It's about these three chefs cooking together. And we just all did that and it was an amazing night. And then, of course, Nick Stock pulled together all the beverage and, you know, it was a really, really good night. It was a joy to cook. And that's what I'm always brought back to, those moments of just pure cooking when I get lost in the moment. And it's just, it's magic.
Can you give us an idea of what that collaboration brought to the table? What were some of the things that you cooked?
Well, we got marin from Coffin Bay, again, pristine, beautiful South Australian seafood. And long story short, but Tasting Australia now owns Lennox Hastings' old barbecue. It's his first barbecue that was from Fyodor. So it was like we had a bit of Lennox there. And then, you know, we got these amazing live marin in and we cleaned them all down. Darren bought this great XO, but I had all these gorgeous garnishes from that we'd picked for him from the garden. I went swimming and got him some seaweed. And then Emma put all these spices into this dish. So it ended up being, it was Darren's dish, but we'd all worked into it. And of course, you know, the people just absolutely loved it because it was, you know, alive 1 minute and cooked on Lennox's barbecue the next and demolished in seconds. And that always makes me laugh. Like you prep so hard and then bang, it's gone. And there's just joy. Like people just enjoyed it. So it was really good. And a lot of us, the three of us, pardon me, all bought something in that we'd preserved or made or like something that was a bit special. And it's, yeah, it was very good.
You've had a real mixed year of some challenges but some amazing successes as well. What are you looking forward to in 2022?
Definitely more cooking, of course, but seeing the unravelling and the joy and the creativity of Toasting Australia and that night when we open, I think will be a really special moment. In terms of Salopian, just to keep training and engaging with local cooks and local producers and just ever growing. Like Salopian for me will never stand still. The part of my job I truly love is that personal, like just keep pushing forward and keep putting your heart on the line and keep making it new and interesting for yourselves, for your team, and of course for your customers. So yeah, I think we're in for a pretty exciting year. We're actually renovating Salopian as well, so beautiful new tables being made by local craftsmen. And yeah, so it's been 9 years, so it's ready for a facelift. And you know, a change in dining, like I've bought round tables, which any accountant will tell you don't. You can't move them, you can't put them together. But I love the conversation that you get. So we're just thinking more about experience and just how we want people to enjoy that moment. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a really good year. Might even get to go on an aeroplane and stamp a passport. You never know.
Well, Karina, you're an inspiration and always a pleasure to catch up with. We've loved having you on Deep in the Weeds today. Have a wonderful festive season and good luck for 2022.
Oh, thank you so much.
This is the Deep in the Weeds podcast. I'm Anthony Huckstep. Stay tuned as we take a deep dive into the lives of the incredible people who ply their trade in the food and hospitality sector.
Special thanks to executive producer Rob Locke for making this all happen.
Follow us on Instagram at Deep in the Weeds podcast. Or email us at podcast@deepintheweeds.com.au.
Stay safe and be well.